Welcome. It is the Ski Bum Podcast, episode number 331. It's your pals, Mario and Brian. Mario, what is up?
It's been a while. It feels good to be back. Just trying to survive life right now.
Surviving life. That's all we could do. Survive life. It's a beautiful place. A lot of stuff going on. We're still getting a little bit of ski season left here in the Northeast. Looking out west, there's still people are still cranking away out there. It's a beautiful thing. And for our main topic, we're going to discuss something about out west, and we're going to talk about real estate in ski towns, something that we have peripherally brought up several times, and something that I am absolutely fascinated with and have been for many, many years now, even though I'm sadly and stupidly not an owner of any ski town real estate, at least for the moment. But we'll get more into that in the main topic. But thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Check us out, skibumpodcast.com. We're also on the socials, X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Untappd. We're at Skibum Podcast. Do you love the show? Do you want to help us out? You can be part of the show. You can be a patron. Go to patreon.com/skibumpodcast. You can join one of our tiers, support the podcast, be part of it. Help us take this podcast to the next level. We would really appreciate it and love that. Do you want to send us an email with some ideas, tips, points, criticisms, critiques? skibumpodcast@gmail.com. A digital hug.
Always works.
Digital hug. Last but not least, a big thank you and shout out to 10,000.cc. They have some awesome workout gear made to perform, get you in great shape. I love the stuff. I'm not wearing any right now. I'm actually wearing pajama pants.
Boom.
Red and black Canadian tuxedo print pajama pants to match my sweatshirt, which is actually still available in the shop, skibumpodcast.com/shop. But 10,000, I was working out this afternoon. I had my interval shorts on. I love them. Their gear is built to perform. They collaborate with a team of the most obsessed and passionate athletes in the world on design, development, and testing their gear. Their motto is better than yesterday. And at the heart of 10,000 is the idea of pursuit, business, fitness, skiing, and life. They believe in moving forward with a quiet dedication to constant improvement and becoming just a little bit better than they were yesterday. If you go to the site and use the code BSchneider15, you can get 15% off. 10,000.cc. Thank you, 10,000. Mario, let's kick this off the way we always do.
It's time for Opry Today.
All right, so we got a very special. This is the final in the series of my beer extravaganza. This is a very weird one. Very cool can. I'll show it to you in a sec. Very interesting beer. I did try it while prepping, while we were getting online. It's good. It's interesting. I'll tell you about it in a bit. So here we go. Here's the can. It is the Lacto Cooler by Voodoo Brewing Company.
Lacto Cooler. I love it. For those who are too young to know what that is, it's an homage to the Ecto Cooler Ghostbusters High C fruit box, juice box back in the 80s or early 90s when that came out.
Yeah, Ghostbusters has another movie coming out, so it's kind of topical, right?
It's like Frozen Nation or Frozen Planet or
something like that.
I don't know. Is it the broads or is it actually the real Ghostbuster guys or is it like new Ghostbusters?
I think it's some dudes this time. I don't even know. It's people that might identify as a Ghostbuster. That's about it. That's all I know.
Yeah. Apparently did well in the theater, so maybe it doesn't suck, perhaps. We'll see.
Yeah, we get it. There's hope yet. But this is by Voodoo Brewing Company in Pennsylvania.
Voodoo Brewing. Where in Pennsylvania are they out of?
It just says Pennsylvania.
Just somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Somewhere in PA.
Scranton, perhaps? There's a Voodoo Brewing Scranton pub. Perhaps that's it. Yeah, Scranton.
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 Like the office.
Like the office.
I watch the office every day. They don't have any open positions. Damn it.
Beer muscles for the kid. They got all kinds of cool. cool website.
Very cool. So anyway, so this is the Voodoo Brewing Lacto Cooler. Very cool. It looks like a, like the Ghostbusters, like a kind of like a
Slimer,
right?
That looks like Slimer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like Slimer, and look at the beer.
Whoa.
It's like St. Patrick's Day in this bitch.
That's right.
It is. It's green beer. It is St. Patrick's Day from no dye added. This is just how it comes. So I guess what they do is they add. They add flavor to it. It's a Berliner Weiss, but it's a flavored Berliner Weiss. So they add stuff into it. Flavored Berliner Weiss sour ale. So it's a Berliner Weiss sour. It's very interesting. It's kind of an ugly green, I got to say, but it's good.
It
like
looks
Frankenstein.
Like pond water, or like someone didn't clean their fish tank
right
for a long time.
St. Patrick's Texas Day, nobody's questioning. They're like, oh, yeah, nice green beer. Smell is weird. It smells. It smells like pond water.
That's, you know.
Taste-wise? It tastes like a sour piece of candy almost.
Sour,
but with candy. With a bitter note in there somewhere.
So when it's saying lacto cooler, I'm thinking lactose, like milky, right. Sweet.
With lactose.
It doesn't seem that's like it has that in there.
No. So when I got this, I thought it would be like lactose, but then I saw it was a sour. I was like, you know, I don't usually drink sours, I think ever, unless I just buy chance get one. It's kind of a cross between a beer and a wine cooler, or one of those sparkling seltzers or whatever.
Because a Berliner Weiss is, that's like a wheat beer, and they usually put a syrup in there to sweeten it.
Right. So I think that's what they did, was they added stuff to it.
Green, it
almost tastes
sweet.
Almost tastes a little bit like the Pucker sour apple. You ever have that?
I think so.
Or like a sour apple, a green apple Jolly Rancher, but on a little sour side. Tastes kind of like that, not as sweet as a piece of candy, but it's sugary tart for sure. It's interesting. I could see that as that's like a dessert.
Okay.
It's like a dessert beer. With a piece of pie, this would go with a nice piece of key lime pie.
Key lime pie and lacto cooler. You're in business then.
I'm thinking that's the matchup, right? Because it's like it's a little sour, like a lime,
sweet and sour. You got the green. Yeah, there's a lot of synergy right there that we're seeing.
Oh yeah, key lime pie. That would pair well with key lime pie.
Which, you know, everyone's looking for something, a great alcoholic drink to go with their key lime pie. So,
I don't,
ladies and gentlemen, you may have it.
Yeah, like it's funny. Like I don't even taste like the weedy part of the beer that I usually don't like. Very interesting. Somebody put tasting notes: kiwi and blackberry, grape, lemon, green apple.
They're just throwing everything out there. Pretty much.
This one person has a list of just all the, like. You don't know what it tastes like. You just want to look like you.
Like you're sophisticated. Yeah. It's pretty fun. I like it. I don't get why they're calling it lacto cooler, though.
Yeah. Maybe it came from breast milks.
Oh, there you go.
It's the added little dash of breast milk in there. We got you, little breast milk. Come on. You're good.
Now that whole scene with Diddy having breast milks.
Breast milks.
Now.
That's right. Now, if anybody doesn't know us by now, we've watched Chappelle's Show a million times. So if you look in the, I'm sure people are going to start watching that now. The P. Diddy Was it? He did a real
making
world
the band or something. Was it making the
making
band?
Making the band. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That was with
Dylon.
Oh, what was his name? Dylon. Spit Hot Fire.
Yeah. Oh, it was Wyclef.
Wyclef's
the other guy from the Fugees. And we were talking about Praz before, because Praz is apparently an FBI informant now.
And that was Diddy. Oh boy, we're drawing connections.
There's a lot of Diddy connections.
Diddy here, Diddy there. Diddy everywhere. According to the court papers, Diddy everywhere.
Why did he stop being Puffy? What was wrong with being Puffy?
I don't know.
See that? I made like a thumbs up somehow.
Hey, look at that.
I don't even know how that happened.
Wow. What do you got? AI shit running on here?
I guess. I don't know what's going on here. You can't do it. Why can I do it? You couldn't do it.
Sehr gut.
Anyway.
Super.
So what would you rate this? What would you give the Lacto cooler on a scale of 1 to 10?
Unless it's like undrinkable, I don't think I'd give anything under a 5 out of 10. Okay. If it's drinkable, I'll give it at least a 5, right? This one, I'm going maybe a 6.
Okay.
5.5. I'll give it 5.5.
So it's definitely not going in the Hall of Fame. That's for sure.
Now, this is if I see it and I feel like in the mood for it, maybe, but just one, because it's kind of not crushable. Not crushable at all.
Not good.
Not good. I could see taking this beer on St. Patrick's Day and mixing it with another light beer. Half and half. Like then you get your green.
A green and tan?
Green and tan.
Oh,
that's a good idea. Green and tan.
Get a Bass and a Lacto cooler and, you know, you're off to the races.
I wonder how that would be in a green and tan. Like with a Bass, that might actually be pretty good.
Yeah.
This has possibilities for making other stuff from it.
Yeah. Seems like a nice stepping off point. But yeah, what about with Guinness? You can make a Black Irish.
A Black Irish. It's the look of the Black Irish.
Guinness and Lacto cooler.
Lacto cooler.
Perhaps that's taking over pubs in Dublin right as we speak, without us even knowing about it.
Hey, speaking of people that say for fuck's sake and curse like artisans, Conor McGregor was in a movie that I saw this weekend. It was the remake for Roadhouse. Did you ever see that?
No.
They remade Roadhouse.
Was it awesome?
It wasn't bad, I gotta say. I was like, I thought it was gonna really suck, and they didn't redo the whole thing. It's the same premise, but
is it more of an homage as opposed to a remake?
No, it was a flat out remake because it was in the Florida Keys and it was like water and stuff. So at least they were creative in doing that. Like they didn't just copy the whole movie.
Because the real one, was it in Texas or Oklahoma?
Yeah, they were definitely landlocked. But it's one of those places you're like, I could see people being bitter and wanting to fight every night because nothing else around. Right.
Yeah.
It took place in the Keys. And I'm like, why is everybody so mad? Like, you're in the Keys, dude. You're just hanging out. But yeah, it wasn't bad. And Conor McGregor was in there. And he was actually pretty good. He was like the muscle for a villain. And
wow, he's really roided up in this. Holy crap.
Oh, he was super roided. I think that's when he was trying to gain the weight.
Yeah.
Maybe he was going up like 2 weight classes to, fight. Who's the guy from Stockton? What was his name?
Oh, Nick Diaz.
Nick Diaz. I think it was when he was trying to fight Diaz. Remember, he went up like 2 weight classes or something.
Okay.
But he looked juiced. He was giant.
Wait, is this movie called Dalton?
No, it's Roadhouse.
Okay. So apparently, there's something else about a guy as a bouncer in the Florida Keys. It's like a TV show. Maybe it's a
movie. Oh, they might have done a TV show spinoff. This was just a movie.
Okay. You know what? I think it's just like breaking down all the people. So I guess the guy's name is Dalton.
Yeah.
Main guy. And then there's Knox, which is the Conor McGregor character.
Yeah.
Okay. That's friggin' Post Malone is in it too.
Yeah. Post Malone is fighting at the beginning. It's pretty good. So the whole premise is it's Jake Gyllenhaal is the main guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like it was good. So part of the twist that they did, he was the ex-UFC fighter.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, I get that. That makes sense.
As opposed to the original where Patrick Swayze was a black belt in karate and had a PhD in philosophy.
Exactly. And he did Tai Chi and was very at peace with the world. It was a very strange mix of stuff they had going there. Yeah. But that was back in the 80s, right? They had Cobra Kai. They had Karate Kid was big. Everybody was doing David Carradine. That was before he jerked off and hung himself.
We've all been there. It's just most of us escaped.
He's like, Kung Fu, right?
He was definitely
Enter the Dragon. No, he was in was he in the Chinese Connection or Enter the Dragon? What was he? David Carradine.
Well, he was Kung Fu Legend Continues, right?
Yeah, but I'm thinking Chuck Norris of who is in movies with Bruce Lee. I thought David Carradine was in one or two though.
Maybe. And it was Missouri, the original Roadhouse.
Yeah, I'd be angry there too.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? That's a brutal way to go, David Carradine. Like, it's just... Oh.
That's a brutal way to go. I don't know how we got there. But anyway, Roadhouse was... It was actually pretty good. It's a good movie. Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
You I like got how the...
I love
you
how Connor... to...
you got a movie review, and you got... Roadhouse preview. You got a David Carradine reference about him and Bruce Lee and how he jerked off and killed himself.
I love how Conor McGregor, like, instead of having McGregor on his stomach, the tattoo, it says like Knox, Knox, Knox. Wow, he is so big in this.
He's got his clothes on too.
Well, compared to how he looked when he was fighting.
Oh, he's
so much bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of lanky-ish for his weight class because he was tall, but he always cut weight to fight in the lower weight class.
Was he a flyweight?
I always forget. I think he was a 155-er, so I forget what that was.
I don't know his names.
He was a big 155. Like, he would have to cut a lot of weight to get down to that.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of crazy, I'm going to go into my... Apre today.
Yeah, what you got?
To be honest, it's not really crazy. I saw Mario before the podcast. I'm actually going skiing finally again this weekend. I'm going to Vermont. Nice. Got my Ski Vermont hat on. Long trail. I'm not going to go to Long Trail probably. But I'm not drinking a beer because I'm probably going to drink a bunch of beer next week when I'm actually up there.
Ooh.
So I decided, also too, in homage to one of the things we're going to talk about in the main topic in terms of our real estate ski town real estates that has some of the highest priced real estate and some of the best skiing. That would be Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So I have a little Wyoming whiskey private stock.
That's a fancy shit.
Because I'm fancy like that.
Do they have that where you got to get them to get the key to open it up because they know you're going to steal it if it's not locked?
I don't know. It was not locked up. It was not that high.
Is that only in the ghetto in the ghetto bodegas, or is that every store locks it up?
All I know is there's certain liquor stores that I go to where like the cognac is like all the cognac is locked up,
like all of it. Even the plastic one of the plastic bottles locked up. Even that's some hardcore shit right there.
Even the VS, not just the VSOP, the VS is locked up, and I'm like,
is that what we got to do around here, bro?
You do what you got to do. So this is the private stock, which is distilled, barreled, and bottled in Kirby, Wyoming. Now, this is also the Wegmans private select.
Oh.
Sorry to brag. So barrel number 7960, the good folks at Wegmans were like, you know what? This is the best barrel. We're getting this barrel for our wonderful customers. So I got this one. Now, this thing, it's technically a bourbon. So now usually they have the Outrider, which is a rye, which I love. But this is the bourbon, which is really good. Unique character that has left an impression on all who have sampled it, me included. Ancient limestone water, high prairie grains, and at least 5 years in the best charred American oak made this bourbon what it is. It is a bottle that can't be found anywhere else. And this bottle is yours.
Wow.
And I feel very special drinking this.
Very fancy.
And this is barrel strength too. So 117 proof.
Wow.
Boom. We're coming in hot. 58.7%.
Hmm.
This just checks a lot of boxes. If you're a bourbon fan, again, it comes in hot. I've got a bunch of ice cubes already melted in here because it needs a little
bit
of
mellowing. You got to cool it down a little.
Yeah. It's
what's the other one that's always hot? Is it Booker's?
Booker's. Yeah. Booker's is a barrel strength one too. That's my wife's favorite bourbon and she drinks it neat.
Really?
She's
I see who wears the pants in that. Your family.
She's a hardcore lady. She's a hardcore lady. I assure you that. But yeah, this is really good. It's a little bit sweet. I mean, classic bourbon flavors. You know, you're getting your little bit of vanilla, caramel, getting some of the woodsiness from the barrels, of course.
Just no rubber tire. Oh, that's Malort.
Because these pants aren't going to shit themselves.
That's the best
Malort. It really is. Now, this is just a delicious bourbon. And again, whenever I see Wyoming whiskey, I think about our trip to Jackson Hole because that was such a great trip. We drank so much Wyoming whiskey when we were out there. I just remember like getting like those old fashions at the bar at the hotel we were staying at. And that guy just lighting those orange rinds on fire.
Oh, yeah. That was great. I mean,
we went through probably a bushel of oranges for all the rinds that had to get burned for our delicious beverages.
But he was making good cocktails. It's definitely something to appreciate.
An old fashioned after skiing. I mean,
not rushed, plenty. Made very like a gentleman, made with very
love.
Nice.
With love.
With love. Yeah.
And Wyoming whiskey.
Didn't we try to go to we couldn't get into that. Was that there? Where the hell were we trying to go to? And it was never, we could never get in.
Oh, that was High West.
That was High West.
Park City, okay. Yeah.
That's Park City.
I've been in there. I was.
It doesn't exist to me.
There was at least two times it was like an issue. But
yeah,
what are you going to do? One time we'll get in there together.
That's life.
Yeah, I'll show you. Got to roll with the punches.
Man, I don't. If I drop dead during this podcast, like it's this ecto cooler, it's a lacto cooler.
Your asbestos cooler. Who would make this? This
is God damn! I don't know what's in it, but it gets worse if you drink it.
Yeah,
like it's a sipping. It's a sipping one.
You need to order up some key lime pie to enjoy with that.
To cut the sourness, maybe. You know, that would be good. Like a little Kenai and mini bite.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sourness.
Let's go to ski news.
First up, A-Basin will require parking reservations next season. So the hits keep coming.
I know.
Hits keep
surprised.
Coming. Well, you know, A-Basin announced a few weeks ago that they are going to be sold off to Alterra, to the folks at the Icon Pass. And now they're announcing that before 1 p.m. on weekends and holidays, you'll need parking reservations. And they're going to cost you $20 online. A-Basin has announced they will implement an online parking reservation system next season on weekends and holidays because of the limited capacity of its parking lots. Chief Operating Officer Alan Hensroth made the announcement in his semi-regular blog, which appears on the A-Basin website, and said the decision is unrelated to the ski area's sale to Denver-based Alterra Mountain Company, which is set to close later this year. We're doing this with or without Alterra, Hensroth said in a phone interview. We need to do it. We've had really good success controlling our big days, limiting ticket sales, limiting pass sales. Despite that, the number of cars arriving are creeping up. We've had 7 or 8 really challenging days this year with parking, where more cars arrived than we had space for, and we created some backups on the highway. It's time to get to the heart of the problem, which is controlling the number of cars that arrive. So the capacity for A-Basin's parking lots is 1,750 vehicles. The mountain can accommodate more skiers and riders, but the parking lots can't. So they're also saying that They're looking to add another 350 more parking spots in the near future, part of their new master development plan. And parking reservations will be required next season before 1 p.m. on weekends and holidays and will be purchased online for $20. Vehicles with four or more skiers won't have to pay the $20, but will still need a reservation. So what this is telling me is that if you're a family of four, you're good to go. If you're one person who usually drives out there, make a friend. Better yet, make three friends. You can all go together.
Wasn't there like a few ski apps that came out there? Like you could try to network and we had one on the show. What the hell was it?
Ski Buds. Yeah, we talked.
Ski Buds.
Yeah, we talked to, I think it was Steve was his name. And he released.
You could link up with ski people and then go to the mountain together.
He like worked on that app for like a year or two and it came out like, was it January or February 2020? It may have been like the end of February 2020. It was like.
Right in time for COVID.
God damn. Like, could there be worse timing? But yeah, it was a cool idea. And I mean, I got to check it. We got to look him up and see if he's still doing it. But I mean, it would have. Now it'll be great again because especially with a lot of these ski resorts that are having so many issues with parking, this is the perfect opportunity to sneak in, use an app like that, not have to pay, make your reservation, get out there. And one, you're making friends. Two, you're saving a couple bucks. So
yeah,
not the worst thing in the world.
Ski Buds is still going.
All right, Ski Buds. There you go.
They're still going.
One other thing is that they said a limited number of season parking passes will be sold for $150, although they will also need to make reservations. Yeah, it's another another layer of complexity put into skiing, which there seems to be a lot of that happening these days with reservations to ski, reservations to park.
Well, promising thing about that, it's going to limit people on the mountain. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I've been to A Basin once. It is a fantastic mountain. I know we were there on, I think, a Thursday or a Friday. And, you know, we got there at a little late, like 9 o'clock. And it was, we had to go to like the last lot at that point. Like it just is what it is. Like there's because of the way it is right by the Continental Divide by the pass there, there's only so much room. There's the highway there and there's only so much room for parking. So, you know, but that's part of what makes it awesome too, is because it is limited. You can only get so many people in there. You don't have the on mountain condos. You don't have, you know, all that extra congestion piling into the bottom of a base area at a ski resort. So it's part of its charm is that it is limited and, you know, it's cool. They're adding a little bit, but it's nice too, that they really can't do too much there. So go during the week, get there early, and you will have no problems at all.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's the goal. If you can just like work a little bit on the weekend and not to work midweek and you can just ski, life's pretty sweet.
It's got to hit the Powerball tonight. I'll be able to ski all day.
They're really just banging you in the ass for skiing on the weekends. That's the
long part of it. And it's getting worse and worse. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are just not too happy to see these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, some people that aren't happy to see some things or were not happy to see some things, the weekly ski trip turned into an overnight ordeal when about 50 women got stranded on a bus during a snowstorm. So there's a group. So this is out of Denver. There's a group with about 50 women from the Denver area that would go up and they were on, I guess, the final of their 10 weekly ski trips. And they ran into some problems. So I guess this was, so they went to Vail, and if anybody remembers in the news, I think this was about 2 weeks ago, there was like some crazy storm that came in with a lot of lightning. So they had to clear people off of the trails because of the lightning. They were afraid people were going to start getting hit by lightning. So they started going home after that ordeal. And I guess there were two or three jackknifed trailer um, tractor trailers on the road, closed the road down. So they wound up having to shut the bus down, hang out in the bus, and they wound up sleeping there overnight. So the thing is, whoever wrote this story is kind of funny. Like, they throw these weird things in here, I guess, to dress it up. So like they say, after enjoying their after ski snacks, including banana bread and cookies, they were stopped due to jackknife semis. What? Was it really important to tell me the banana bread and cookies?
Oh, come on. They were friggin' throwing back fireball shots. We all know it.
And then they like...
vodka tampons and fireball shots. Woo!
And then they're talking about people that were, you know, they were injured from before they got on the bus, or had to deal with the whole ordeal overnight, and they ran out of toilet paper. And I'm like, this isn't a harrowing ordeal. They were skiing a veil, for crying out loud. But
now, see, that's the thing. If there was a women's only ski club, so it was only women on this bus. If there was guys on the bus, I know my first thing I'd be doing is sizing up who I'm eating first. Who's getting eaten first? You know, whenever there's any sort of precarious situation and you got a group of people, who is going to get eaten first?
My first that, and you got to establish a pee corner.
That's right. That's an important one too.
Sir, we have a bathroom on this bus. Still, I need a pee corner.
This is the pee corner. I am the alpha now.
That's great. But now this is the pee corner.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
But, you know, the nice thing about this story is it is nice that they kind of did take care of each other. And I think that's one thing that's not just a skier thing. That's like a humanity thing. You know, when you are with people on an intimate level, you know, you're stuck in a bus together and something goes wrong, you're going to work together. Like, you could have the dumb differences that we have, whether it's, you know, sports teams or politics or whatever, like you can put all that stupid shit aside. And we're like, we're going to figure this out. We got to work together and we'll get some snow, make an ice pack for this lady. This chick's going to needs her insulin shot. We'll figure, get her some snacks. Like, they found a way to work together to take care of each other, which I think that's a beautiful thing.
So the funniest thing of all these things, you gotta peruse the comments. So,
oh, the comments are rough.
The second comment,
my favorite one.
I've seen horror movies and pornos start out like this headline. So let's read that. Weekly ski trip turns into overnight day when about 50 women get stranded on the bus during a snowstorm, and then the murder starts, or the porno starts.
Yeah,
I can see it. That's
funny. Be like, hey, I got my tow truck here. Do any of you ladies need some help?
Looks like we're snowed in here, but I can looks give you like ladies a hand.
Looks like we're snowed in. Maybe I could help protect you guys tonight or something.
Man. Oh no, my pants are caught on the on the door.
I think my boot is wet. I better take my pants off too.
Yeah. It sounds like you did this before, Brian.
Yeah. I may have snapped a brake line or two in my day to my college girls volleyball team bus. But
although these were not college-aged girls.
Oh, no.
I believe.
Oh, no.
So they're saying...
some of these ladies may have served, helped out during World War II.
Yep.
Candy stripers.
The whole club's been going for like almost 30 years. And yeah, there's 76. They mentioned some of the older people of the group. And I guess it was, you know, pretty mixed bag.
I love the picture at the top of the article. There's like the happy lady taking the selfie. Look at the lady right behind her on the right.
Just ready to kill her. She's like, I hate that bitch.
I think that's like the grandmother of Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. It's like Bubbles' grandmother. That's what she looks like.
Look at the one cropped out to the right side.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she's just like
pissed.
Like she's like, I'm gonna shank you. Like, if there was a shanking, if a shanking happened on this bus, I would take that picture and be like, Exhibit A, witness. That's the possible suspect number one right there.
Yeah. You know, you got to do what you got to do on the bus. You know,
he's looking at it like, I want to murder this bitch.
She's trying to establish, if it's a pecking order, I want to be on top. I'm going to take this woman out. We got to eat her first.
She's thinking right now. She's like, I just got to take this bitch out and I run the bus.
That's right. She's got some rage.
That's funny. But,
yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. It's a cool article. So we'll link
it. It's a giant bus, though.
There's a lot of people on that bus. Yeah. Just a bus full of lady farts. It's
like, old lady farts. Damn.
Old lady farts all night long.
Okay, let's establish a fart corner. Do I have to get up?
Yeah. But we're all happy that they're safe and we're delivered back home. Nobody died.
You just imagine the bus driver from like Camden, just like, what the fuck are you ladies doing?
Was it do we know a lady bus driver?
I don't know. That would be interesting.
Yeah. They probably demanded a woman bus driver.
If it's a dude, he's like,
why they got in trouble.
I'm gonna try to brave it out by my own. I can't stand in here no more.
Yeah. Like, I know they reintroduced wolves out here just this past winter, but it's better than being in this bus, these ladies. Right.
Yeah. Better. I can't hear them talk anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of not talking anymore, it's really not the correct segue, but that's okay. Very interesting topic. And this rolls into our main topic. Company behind Montana's Yellowstone Club coming to Colorado with similar development near Steamboat Springs. Yes, the company behind Montana's exclusive Yellowstone Club will submit plans for its first development in Colorado near Steamboat Springs as soon as May, according to a document detailing the nearly 6,500-acre private ski and golf development called Stagecoach Mountain Ranch. The developer, Discovery Land Company LLC, is named in a draft letter submitted to the Upper Yampa Water Conservancy District last week. That letter is seeking confirmation that the district has available water in Stagecoach Reservoir that could be used for snowmaking and irrigation of a golf course. The draft letter says Discovery plans on submitting a development application, including 697 homes and extensive recreational amenities, to the Rout County Planning Department in May. So they're planning to do this. Stagecoach Mountain is primarily planned on land that was the short-lived Stagecoach ski area, which closed after its 1974 season, a reawakening of the long dormant ski area, the trails of which are still etched into the pines visible from Steamboat Resort 20 miles to the north, has fueled rumors in the Yampa Valley for years. Last year, property owner Chris Whitmire submitted that he called very early plans for the development, detailing a private ski area with 5 new lifts and a golf course along the shores of Stagecoach Reservoir. Those documents were seeking feedback from relevant stakeholders that will eventually weigh in on the development application when it goes through the typical review process. An official development application is expected in May. Burp, 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 burp. Documents 2023. Okay.
I love how they mentioned the official review process, which is different than the cash-backed review process.
Yeah, right. So the development company, Discover, was founded in 1994 by investor Mike Meldman, who owns or operates more than 30 exclusive properties across the globe, catering to the ultra-wealthy, with communities like the Yellowstone Club near Big Sky, Montana, boasting members like Tom Brady and Bill Gates. Meldman is one of 3 founders of Casamigos Tequila with George Clooney and Rand Gerber. In 2022, Meldman told Architectural Digest that the COVID-19 pandemic has dramatically magnified demand for the private community's Discovery offers. One of the 864 spots at the Yellowstone Club doesn't come cheap, with homes selling for as much as $25 million. Initial membership dues coming in at $300,000 and annual fees nearing $40,000, according to a 2021 Business Insider report. Documents about Stagecoach Mountain Ranch does not detail potential home prices and other fees that it may include. Damn. So basically, rich people are trying to get more exclusive properties, land, communities, so they can avoid the dregs of society like us.
Talk about not having to worry about it's the country club of scheme.
Can you blame them? Like, if you were rich, like, would you want to hang out with us? Like, I mean, if I was rich, I wouldn't want to hang out with you people.
Right? See, but if you're that rich, you don't have to hang out with anybody. You just have your own ranch in the middle of nowhere, right? Buy your own ski mountain.
But if you want to ski, but yeah, the problem is with skiing, though, there's so much maintenance required. Like, if you want to wake up and you want like a beautiful corduroy or, you know, groom trails, like, people have to go and do work for it.
Yeah, that's the Cartman paradox.
You need that. Yeah.
Cartman, when he buys the amusement park, then he's like, he's got to get people into
to work there to maintain the rides. Yeah.
And they got to afford it. So they're like, maybe you should open it up to some people. And then he opens up to some people. And then he opens up to more people. And pretty soon, it's just an amusement park again.
It's just an amusement park. Yeah. That's a problem with skiing, man. Well, unless you're just strictly doing, you know, touring, backcountry stuff, you kind of need the infrastructure there. So you kind of need like Tom Brady, Bill Gates money, which is probably what, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars.
Yeah, Tom Brady was an investor.
Well, no, it's just saying that Tom Brady is a member of the Yellowstone Club.
Huh. Wonder how he skis.
He probably sucks.
He sucks. He can't ski. He can only throw a football.
Yeah.
Well, I thought there was video. Tom Brady, you bastard.
I thought there was video footage of him like hit like a jump and like crashing or something. And like Patriot fans were like freaking out because this was back in his Patriot days.
Yeah, right. Like an 80s movie all over, and he's gonna make a comeback by skiing down the mountain with one leg.
Watch him like start being a competitive skier now.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be great?
That'd be funny as hell.
That's like senior circuit.
He could just hook up with Lindsay.
Hook up with Lindsay Vonn.
Right? Yeah, they're both single.
Are they though? I don't know what Lindsay's up to these days.
I don't know. I don't know if Tom's already hitched up with somebody. He's probably just banging a whole bunch of girls now. Post divorce.
It's kind of what Tom Brady is supposed to do, isn't it?
Supposed to, but who knows?
Yeah. He's in some like commercial now, right? For something new. What was the latest?
The Dunkin's, the Dunkin' Donut commercial.
The Dunkin' Donut one. That was weird.
That was weird, but it is kind of classic.
There was something else. Isn't he with like Wayne Gretzky? Is it like a gambling thing?
Oh.
This is like a new MGM, maybe? Is that what they're...
Yeah, like the gambling site, which now they're trying to not have gambling on player stuff. It's weird.
I'm embarrassed for Wayne Gretzky having to do commercials for a gambling website. Like, just embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
He's got a taste. He wet his beak one too many times, and now he's hooked.
Shouldn't he have enough money by now?
Yeah, but he was up on...
Think?
He was up on federal charges a while back. Remember that? Him and his wife, Janet Jones, they did something. Was that
for gambling?
It was gambling
back
related.
In the day, right?
Not even that far back, though. I think it was maybe 10.
I thought it was like the 90s, wasn't it?
I don't know. I thought he was like part owner of a team, and I don't know if he had to sell his stake in the team. There's something with that. That's another conspiracy click hole, whatever you want to call it.
Gretzky knew of betting ring.
There's a betting ring. I think that might was that under RICO? Were they trying to get like that whole ring? And he was
goddamn RICO trials.
Yeah, they just sweep everybody in that net.
Yeah. See, this is the first article I found with Wayne Gretzky and gambling. This is what I'm thinking. It says like Wayne Gretzky destroys his legacy with an amoral commercial. I mean, I don't know about the whole morality thing. That's your choice to decide about morality. But yeah, it's like him being like in a casino, like for a gambling commercial.
No, they're saying
lame.
Okay. Wayne Gretzky vehemently denied allegations, but his wife Janet was found to have placed bets. And investigations were conducted to determine whether the greatest player of all time had placed bets through his wife, but no evidence was discovered. Same thing that they're alleging for LeBron James. They're saying his agent
right?
is making a ton of bets, and they're wondering if it's connected to him.
Okay. Yeah, Gretzky caught on tape talking about wife and gambling ring. And this is from 2015-ish.
A gambling ring. Damn. That just got so much bigger.
Yeah. Coach, this is when he was coach and part owner of the Phoenix Coyotes. Can heard on wiretaps
That's
made within
was.
The talking about his wife with assistant coach Rick Tockett, speaking on the condition of anonymity because investigation is ongoing.
Yeah, they had to have some big thing behind it because that seems like a federal thing. Yeah, he was on the hot seat for a while. So he had to leave the team.
It was
right?
then. Like it was then. Now it's like, yeah, like every team right. has the official
every
sports
team has
book
a logo.
Of the, yeah.
And they
New York,
changed
the New York logo. Islanders have like Jack Pocket as like their one of their sponsors, just like the fucking online lottery.
They just changed some of the rules. Like it used to be taboo to even bet. Now you can bet as long as it's not your own game. And now there's some people trying to get some laws passed to prevent betting on like player props. So like if you get like, you know, 5 points, that's a player prop, but it's you specifically have to get those points, right? And you can gamble on that. You get great odds. I know because I do it on my gambling app. And you wind up getting these funny long shots that aren't really that long of a shot, but it's like you bake it down and you get like, a $5 bet will win you like $200. You're like, okay, you know, I'll place that bet. I won $500 not too long ago. Last week I won about $250 on what I bet on was where is it? Let me look at it. I bet on like 4 hockey games, just the winners of the hockey games, okay. which isn't that hard to do, especially if you have some blowouts and stuff. And you get more if you bet them straight versus with the point differential. The points are always usually 1.5 points. But yeah, I picked like 4 games right, and I won $250 on a $5 bet.
Look at you!
It's crazy.
Very nice.
So I throw those out there once in a while. I'm like, it's fun. I like following the hockey games anyway, so yeah. it's something I'll look at the and track the scores.
Well, maybe if you do well enough, you can also get yourself a membership due at the Yellowstone Club. If you can make $300,000 in betting and then $40,000 every year.
See, but if you make $300,000 in betting, then aren't you saying, well, I could parlay that into winning more money and then buy us both Yellowstone Club memberships, right?
That's how it always goes.
And then I'm saying, Brian, can I borrow $300,000 so I can get a membership to the Yellowstone Club?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if we could actually get in. Like, if we did have the money, would they even let us in?
Oh, man. They would take Probably one not. Look at us, be like, you guys can work here, maybe, but you can't.
It'd be like Caddyshack. It's like, I'm sorry, you can't come.
Like, you could stay in the kitchen and peel potatoes with the rest of the people there.
Yeah, be like, God,
I don't even know. Yeah, you could shovel the driveways if you like.
Mm, yeah, dare to dream.
Dare to dream.
Well, speaking of daring to dream, that wraps up the old ski news. And we're going into our main topic. And as we mentioned before, I'm talking about ski town real estate.
I can't drink this anymore.
You're pitching. You gave it a 5.5 too.
I'm changing it. It went down to slowly to about a 3.
It's got a half life, and it's been exposed to the air, and it's only getting worse every 5 minutes.
It almost needs to be on ice because once it is not cold, it starts tasting like toxic sludge. It's not good.
I don't know what to tell you though. You know, I appreciate the boldness of the choice, though. You took a risk. You went out there. Went on a limb.
Hey, I wanted to push the envelope. I'm more embarrassed about my original rating. How could I give that even a 5? was contemplating a six. That's not drinkable. I'd say it's just under drinkable. So I'd say it's in the 4-3.5 range.
Okay. Yeah.
Keep that's 3.5.
That's a rough one.
I'm trying to think what's a 0, a 1. What's in my 1 range? Would that be Kalique beer or Old Milwaukee?
You know what? I actually have a couple bottles of Kalique Gold upstairs.
Oh, look at you.
Kalique Gold. Because we had friends who were visiting the Bahamas, and they stopped over after, and they brought us rum and Kalique.
Nice. Look at that.
So I'll have to break that out on maybe a summertime podcast.
Oh, it was just one of those where if that's the only free beer you have, you're drinking it.
Yeah.
You get sick of it real quickly.
Yeah. That's something you can enjoy in your 20s. And then as you get a more of a sophisticated palate, a little more mature, you're like, I'm not drinking this.
You have a sophisticated palate in your 20s. You're drinking a Zima. That's right. What you're doing.
Yeah.
They brought that shit back too.
They're bringing everything back. But yeah, Kalique Gold, 7%. Mm. Humdinger, the Kalique.
7%.
That's pretty good. It's high octane. It's like one step below Thunderbird, I think.
That's not bad, though. We get you there. Get you drunk.
It does.
It's because you don't want to be heavy on the beach. You want to drink and get drunk real quick.
Yeah.
And just sip your beer.
Yeah. Man, those bartenders at those all-inclusive resorts down in the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad life.
Not
a bad life at all. You're like, oh, here come the fat white girls from Canada.
Oh, yeah. They get out there, Bill Cosby. I'm going to give him the Bill. I call this the Bill Cosby.
Have some Kalique. Bring some Kaliques for you.
I'll bring those right up to your room.
Yeah.
Craziness.
How it goes.
Oh, the P. Diddy thing. Speaking of Rufy, the P. Diddy thing, they were interviewing some guy that was his bodyguard. He's like, you know how they do. He's like, you have these parties and girls, you know, they start taking drugs and they don't even know they're taking it. He's like, you know, you put the little roofie in there and he's detailing his whole thing. He's like, you know, you don't put no roofie in the champagne because they open it out of the bottle. Everybody sees that. But what they don't tell you is you mix it with the orange juice or the cranberry juice and it's in there. So they mix it with that and then they put it in your drink with the champagne and boom, pretty soon you're having sex. And the guy was saying how that happened at P. Diddy's parties and shit. It was craziness.
Allegedly. It's dark, man. It's some dark, dark, awful stuff.
It's
coming bad out.
But anyway, that's the roofie matchup of, you know, the connection.
The ipso facto. Yeah.
Ipso facto.
Ipso to the facto.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I think, wasn't P. Diddy on, was he on a show with Bill Cosby?
Boy.
That would be a good connection. He did a movie with Bill, and he was not the same ever since.
Zip, zap, diddy, witty. Lynn Farman with P. Diddy.
That's why he lost the puffy.
Yeah, he had to get rid of that puff.
Got rid of the puff.
Well, anyway, so we're getting into a little ski town real estate here, and we started putting a spreadsheet together, and I will actually link this in the show notes, and I think I'll make it a public file that anyone can read it. Just can't edit my masterpiece here. So I've been fascinated for years about, you know, ski town real estate, how much things cost, what you can afford, and it really has changed a lot, especially over the last 4 years with the pandemic, with how many people purchased, you know, working remote. I'm going to go move out to Aspen. I'm going to move out to Jackson, wherever.
Yeah, it's pick up and go, right?
Things have gone up considerably. Also, with the growth of Airbnbs or, you know, VRBO, whatever, any one of those, you know, website services where you can take an existing property you own and make it a rental, make some money off of it without too much hassle. That's changed the game a lot too, because, you know, folks, I want to say rarely, but probably more so, have these as a second, third, nth house versus their primary residency. So what we did was, you know, we'd previously, you know, talked to our friend Sam from Peak Rankings. And I thought, if I'm going to choose a list of which places to look at the rental, at the properties at, I said, you know what, I'll start with his top 10 spots.
Nice.
Only thing is, from his list, I had to cut out Canadian resorts because I don't know what's going on in Canada right now.
It's things been crazy since weird. COVID.
Things have been extra weird.
Yeah.
With their first blackface prime minister, Justin Trudeau. So that's what we did. We removed Canadian resorts. So we're just sticking places in the US of A. And first off, number one on his list is Alta. Now, if you've ever been to Alta, you know there's nothing around there. There's like maybe a couple of houses, a couple of tiny condo complexes. As of right now, there is nothing available real estate wise up there. There's actually only one thing. Now, again, Snowbird is included in this too, because you're basically go up the canyon and it's Snowbird and then it. Alta. And right now, the only thing available, which is kind of interesting, it's actually a vacant lot pretty much just north of Snowbird. It's 2.58 acres.
That's good, a piece of property.
Yeah. It's a spacious lot. You have ski in, ski out access. It's pretty much right between the two resorts. You can,
and that's like it. That's all available anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty much right between Peruvian Gulch and the Wildcat Bowl. So,
wow.
I mean, they're asking $1.5 million. I don't know how much, what you have to do for permitting. You know, what has to get done if you want to, if you can build one property, can you build multiple? But, you know, it's cool that something like this is available. So on the list, Alta and Snowbird were both there in the top three. So that pretty much takes care of both of them. One additional thing I did find that if you did want to go down the canyon, I found a nice little 3-bedroom, 4-bath, 2,900 square foot house, pretty much right where you come out in Sandy, $925,000, which considering the prices you're going to start hearing at some of these other places is not really too insane for a house that big.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, so after Alta, number two was Jackson Hole. And again, here's another, you know, we all know Jackson Hole. If you've ever looked at real estate there, I mean, to buy a house within Jackson, Wilson, that whole area that makes up Jackson Hole, I mean, a 3-bedroom house, like a not even that great house, will cost you $2 to $3 million.
Man, that's crazy.
Both the condos I found here are, I think one is definitely ski and ski out. The other one either is or is right next to it. You know, quick little less than 5-minute walk. So here we found a 1-bedroom, 1-bath, 416 square feet. So this is a tiny place.
That's tiny.
My previous condo. Garage. Well, the condo I had with my wife before we moved here was 620 square feet. So I know what I can kind of get that feeling, and it's tight. But
that would be like the same thing. Lose the bathroom, maybe, right? You had a big bathroom.
Yeah, a big bathroom. So that's $640,000 for 416 square feet. So doing the math here, you know, that's $1,538 a square foot, which is on the high side. Found another spot also in Jackson, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, 760 square feet, $1.48 million. And that one's $1,947 a square foot. Now, I know these numbers are big and kind of crazy, but one of the things too, like, you know, when I think about this stuff, you know, you got to think about your monthly cost, you know? So what is it? What is this place going to cost you? Mortgage, insurance, HOA, and all the things that are associated with owning a property in general. Like, what's that going to cost you? And now, again, maybe 5 years ago, this was a lot easier than it is now. But say you wanted to do that and you were cool renting it out for Christmas, MLK weekend, President's weekend. Would you be able to make up your expenses with those kind of big weeks for travel?
Yeah.
And
you also got to watch the HOA. They might have some bylaws in there that to prevent you from Airbnb.
True. Which is why I have the short-term rental eligible column in here. And most of the ones that I was looking at, they were available for short-term rental because, again, if this is your second, third, fifth, 19th house, you know, does it make sense to own it and pay those? I mean, a lot of times these places, the condos, they have crazy HOA fees because the big thing is snow removal. And they know that this isn't your primary residence. So they're going to, you know, they're kind of going to, I don't want to say gouge you, but they know they can charge a little bit more because, you know, you're only a second house. Yeah. You're really kind
you're not going to get out. You're not going to get out and shovel or plow. So you're going to have to pay them to do it.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
Yeah. So that's Jackson. That's a couple of places that were available there. Snowbird is third on the list. We kind of already talked about Snowbird. Vail. Here we go. Another, spicy, hot, expensive place. So I found $300
lift ticket.
One bedroom, one bath, 693 square feet, $1.45 million. Boom. And I think this particular one, now these are, it's like a 5 minute walk. Like you're really, I think you can ski off to the condo, but to get onto the mountain, you got to walk a couple minutes to get to the lift. So
it is very out, walk out skiing.
I guess so. Yeah. Very close to everything. This one comes out to $2,092 a square foot, which I think is the highest. And now I'm not looking at the most high end places on Zillow. I mean, I'm kind of trying to find some of the lowest, best deals. Dude, if you want to vomit or perhaps inspire yourself for greatness, go onto Zillow and look at some of these towns because. Again, we're trying to give some of the better deals, the what's possible if you can, you know, finagle a few things or have a rich uncle who's dying and putting you in the will. That one, though, the Vail one, I remember looking at the write-up on it. It's got parking too, which I guess is nice. But this is, I think it's the first time it's been for sale since 1965.
Wow.
Yeah. First time for sale since 1965.
Damn.
Which you kind of look at that kind of stuff and you wish, like, you kind of look at your parents and grandparents and be like, you guys couldn't see this coming. You guys didn't you had no vision, did you? Damn it.
So that is a little apartment /
goddamn condo. Franklin Mint coins aren't worth shit.
That's right. What a
goddamn ski property back in the
city. But I got all these collector plates.
Yeah. And then another one right around the corner from that. One, there's a two bedroom, two bath with 963 square feet, 1.525. So only 75,000 more, but you're getting another 300 square feet. Also, a much higher HOA. It's like double. So, and again, that's where a lot of the expense that's non-recoverable, I don't think it's deductible, depending on if you have it set up in an LLC or just a personal ownership. Actually, if it's an LLC, you probably can deduct those HOAs, which is helpful. But yeah, it's they nail you on them. Like they're so high.
Yeah.
Usually some places have, if you find a place that's got a lower HOA, it's going to have a higher price tag. That's just, you're not going to escape it. Like you're going to get got. That's the most frustrating thing about looking at ski town real estate. So that's Vail. Then went to Snowmass next. And this was a funky one. I remember, Mario, you saw this number. You're like, whoa, only 180,000? Cheapest thing on the list. But it is a zero bed, one bath, 281 square foot hotel room. So basically, you're buying a hotel room for $180,000. But the worst part about it is that it's got a $1,255 a month HOA.
Yeah.
So again,
what I don't understand is on the listing, they say zero beds, one bath. Like,
it's like a studio because there's, I guess there's no.
So is it one big crapper? No, I'm joking.
Let me think about
a hotel. It's a regular hotel room. Yeah.
So you have no kitchen, no anything. It's just like a hotel room with a bathroom.
Wow.
Which you buy for $180,000. So it's, again, someone's going to buy it. Someone's going to make it viable. But.
Well, that's a hotel. Well, then again, it's $1,200 a month.
That's what kills you. Because think about how many hotel room stays you could come up with for $180,000, you know, if you broke it out.
Yeah, if you,
180 bucks a night, it's 1,000 hotel rooms.
Yeah, but if you live in there full time, right? Let's say you work around there or something, work at the mountain. Yeah.
Crash pad.
It doesn't look bad. They got like a nice common area.
If you work on a food truck.
Boom.
That might be a good buy. You always have place food. You don't have to cook there.
Yeah.
That's the move. And then a normal place in Snowmass here, two bedroom, two bath, 1,080 square feet, $1.895 million.
Wow.
Yeah. $1,754 a square foot. It is ski in, ski out though. So that's kind of nice. Hmm. And now something a little more interesting. Snow Basin up in Utah there. So now, Mario, you can speak about this better than I can because you've actually been to Snow Basin. I unfortunately have not. There's not really anything right there, right?
No. So if you go out away from Snow Basin, I think one of the ones that you have in here is from Huntsville. So Huntsville's really close, but then you go out a little bit and they got some other little towns right around there that are a little more developed, but there's really not much around. There's a lot of just open space. A lot of cute little towns though.
Yeah. So this is actually considered Huntsville, but this is a 12.7 acre piece of land sort of right in the middle of the mountain. It's interesting because it's a horse farm. And then it also has a 2,500 square foot, three stall luxury stable as part of it.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting. And again, I don't know the details, the zoning, the variance. It is zoned as agricultural. So I don't know if you can actually like put anything up there. If you need some sort of special permit, if you got to grease some palms to get the zoning changed so you can actually build on top of it. It's, you know, but again, if you look at it on the map, I mean, it's right between trails.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty much in the, I guess you call it like the, what is it in, the bisecting? I don't know. What's it, or like the,
what's called
the corner of a triangle? Isn't there some name for it or just a corner?
No, the point corner.
Yeah. Right between two trails by the Mount Ogden Bowl. It's like right between where two trails are kind of coming together.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. And then, like you mentioned, it's not right there. It's down the road a little bit. And it's the town is, let me pull this up. So this one I thought, if you were looking for a great deal and wanted a house, Morgan, Utah. So this one's for sale right now. It's six bedroom, three bath, 2,940 square feet. It's on 0.37 acres, $779.
Hmm, that's not bad.
And this estimate's even lower than that. They're saying $756 for whatever that's worth. But if you look at it on the map, it's 7 miles away and a 10-minute drive from Snow Basin.
Hmm.
And it looks like it's a newer house, which, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, if you're looking for trying to get away from things a bit, there's less going on. This is a great option. This one breaks down to $264 a square foot.
Hmm.
as opposed to the insanity of Vail, where it's over 2,000. So,
wow. Well,
if you're looking for a bargain deal, Snow Basin could be your spot. All right, next up, Beaver Creek. And I found a couple of not terribly priced ones here. You know, generally.
Yeah, those are not bad.
Two bedroom, two bath, 768 square feet, $675.
Hmm.
Only $271 HOA. And then a one bedroom, one bath, 548 square feet, $715,000. But it's got an $1,123 HOA. So, and these are basically ski in, ski out, or right by lifts. So this was
pool, hot tub, restaurant, ski parking, ski and parking valet, as well as front desk concierge. So it's almost like a condo or hotel or resort.
Yeah. Yeah. The one bedroom one, with the high HOA is like right in the main village part. And I think the two bedroom one was a little bit further south. It might be at the bottom of the hill. So I guess it's actually technically north. But if you look at it on the map, I think it's at the, it's at like the bottom by Route 6. That's where it is. It's like right on the river there. And I guess actually on the north side of 6. But there is a chairlift that's right there. So you might have to, I don't know if it's a bridge or something. So you have to get across the highway to get to it. So it's you know, a tiny bit further away, but still right there. But by the, you know, very close to the, to everything that the mountain, the ones that are on the mountain have. You're right at the bottom there. So yeah, that one's not terrible. Next up, Telluride. Telluride. Well, here's a one bedroom, one bath in town. Yeah. 547 square feet, $1,093,000.
Wow.
So that's almost $2,000 a square foot. And then I found another one up in Mountain Village, a two bedroom, two bath, 756 square feet, $1.13 million. And the highest on the list, $1,668 HOA.
Wow. That better be a nice unit.
It's ski in, ski out. And again, a lot of these, the, I tried to find the lowest price properties to have like a, at least a two bedroom, two bath and a one bedroom or studio. So it's crazy how expensive it can get. I tell you, right, is a beautiful spot. And again, they can't really build much more down there because of all the national park and state park land they're on. So, you know, supply demand, that's just how the name, that's the name of the game, unfortunately. Now this one, talking about A-Basin again, This is interesting because, like we mentioned, and for those who have been out there, you know, there's nothing really right there by A-Basin. There can't be because of the way everything is set up. You got the highway right there. You got the Continental Divide. You have to go somewhere at least 5, 6, 7 miles away from the mountain. And interestingly enough, when you're, the closest thing to A-Basin is actually Keystone. Like Keystone is sort of right up Route 6 from there. And there's, you know, Keystone Mountain. And that's where the best deals that I can find are.
Keystone lives there.
Keystone. You can Keystone. Keystone lives there. A Keystone there.
That's right.
So one bedroom, one bath, 677 square feet, $589.
Damn.
And based on the map I looked at, it's 6 miles from A-Basin, 9 minutes, which is not terrible. And then I found another one also in Keystone there at the base, two bedroom, two bath, 772 square feet for $830,000. And that one, I don't have the HOA in there, but I do recall it didn't show it in the listing, but they, it did show what it included, and it was everything. Heat, hot water, internet, electricity, like a lot of stuff. So you can you can run your Bitcoin miner while you're gone.
There you go.
And it's all included. So there's ways, you got to think about clever ways to make a little bit of money so you can pay for these HOAs and pay this mortgage off without having to you know, work so you can ski more. That's right. What we're kind of think. This is like our big picture thinking that we're doing here. And now Copper is really just right around the corner also from Keystone and A-Basin. Do you have something going on, like something like noisy that's picking up?
Yeah, there's rain.
Oh, it's the rain? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's raining hard. Holy cow. Smacking against the window.
Oh, okay.
I'll mute for a little bit.
Okay. Next is Copper, which is right around the corner from A-Basin. And you're actually in the town of Frisco, which is kind of the nice middle ground where you have Copper just to the west. You have Breckenridge right to the south, and then Keystone and A-Basin just to the east. So within 20 minutes, you have four great ski areas. But right at Copper, at the base, found a couple of spots. One is a studio with one bath, 479 square feet, only $499, which is one of the, I think, cheapest.
Not bad comparatively, right?
Besides the hotel room, it's the cheapest one on here. And it's so funny, like, they talk about it in the listing. They're like, hey, it's got a Murphy bed too. You can sleep six people in here. I'm like,
also it comes fully furnished then.
A lot of the places do. When you're buying these like vacation properties, a lot of them do come fully furnished. But the Murphy turkey. Bed, Murphy bed, that's a special thing. And also, like, a Murphy bed
gives you a lot of space there.
It is. I remember staying at the Killington Grand, had a Murphy bed there. And what a difference it made from having it up and down. I mean, it's you're basically like doubling your usable square footage when you have it up versus having it down.
Oh, yeah.
And Copper to another two-bedroom, two-bath, 770 square feet, $925,000 and $789 HOA. And interesting thing about, I know Copper does it. I don't know if Beaver Creek or, I'm sorry, if Keystone does it also, but they have certain properties sometimes that are specifically for people working in Eagle County. So if you are an employee working, probably, again, I don't know all the criteria, but I think it's if you're, I don't know if you have to work at the ski resort or just anyone in the town.
I've seen Jackson Hole. You got to watch out with property there because there's a lot of property that says you can't live there. You have to rent it out to somebody that works. There's some rule on it.
That was Aspen was doing that. They had that going on there too. But this one, it's like if you can actually buy it at a much cheaper, there's like certain number of units or certain types of units they built out, which were only available to purchase if you can prove that you work there. So that's
affordable housing kind of thing to get people at least some places to stay.
Not really affordable. It's more affordable, but it's crazy. And I wonder too, like, what kind of shady stuff can you do? Like, can you set up an LLC out there? And be like, oh yeah, I'm, you know, Brian's Construction, and I have an LLC, and I work in the county. But really, it's like a, you know, it's like a shell company for a hedge fund or whatever. See, I'm trying to find the.
That'd angle. Be interesting.
You know, like I don't know what the criteria are, but you know, again, we're throwing ideas out there, trying to help you live your ski bum dream too.
I'm just gonna send an email to P. Diddy because I believe I can fly.
That was R. Kelly, but you know, you do what you got to do.
Mix them all up. He got hit for something too, didn't he? He was the doo-doo butter.
Oh, he got, yeah.
He's the underage girl doo-doo butter guy.
I want to pee on you.
Pee on you.
Yes, I do. Want to pee on you. Want to piss on you. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Yep.
I want to piss on you. Another Dave Chappelle classic. Dave Chappelle remix.
Yep. All right. Last one. We got Big Sky. In beautiful Montana. Got a two bedroom, two bath, 880 square feet, $666,000. That could be the cheapest two bedroom, two bath.
So you buy that one, you make your Heisenberg meth lab there. Gold mine. You're churning out meth right out of Big Sky. All these places, meth, always meth, 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 meth.
Always an option.
It could be your whole network of meth.
Yeah. And then there's another.
Hey, did you see that show, The Gentleman?
I saw the ad for it, but I didn't see it.
It's very good. And one of the things is that, yeah. But they're keeping track of properties they own for illicit purposes. So it's kind of like that.
Some big fancy like country manor, and there's like grown weed in the basement or underground.
Oh my God. Yeah. This place is gorgeous though. The opulence of this place. It's like, wow. Some people live like that, you know?
Someone's got to do it, right?
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Well, another one, big sky, another two bedroom, two bath, 790 square feet, $779,500. So $779,500. Again, big sky. Like if you want to go crazy high end, that's, you can do that too. All these places, they pretty much have the sky's the limit, but we wanted to throw out some ideas, some numbers, and just see if you want to be in some of the towns, the ski towns that are rated the highest by our friend Sam over at Peak Rankings, give yourself an idea of what it's going to cost you to do so. And it ain't cheap. Now, again, these are the ones that are, I wanted to find ones that were basically ski in, ski out, or as close as possible to doing so. Have a couple of options, one bedrooms, two bedrooms. Couple of ones, like I said, you know, if you get further out, you can find larger properties, more acreage. It's all about, you know, what do you want? Do you want instant access? Do you want more space? It's really a matter of figuring out what you want and what your budget is. And those are those things can often go in different directions, because I know what I want. My budget cannot supply that. So
yeah, I think you got to look at what you're going to use it for, right? If you're going to live there, that's one thing. If you're going to rent it out, there's a whole different cost proposition involved with that, right? Because then you got to look at the rentals and see what they're
going for. You got to. And another cool thing I did find too, like if that is what you're trying to do, there's a service that Airbnb has that you can subscribe to. It's called AirDNA. And it's basically Airbnb providing you data for different rental markets, short-term rental markets. And you can see, and again, there's like a free version, and then there's, you know, obviously they're trying to get people to buy their service, and you can get the subscription one. I'd say the free one just to check it out. And it's cool because it shows you, you know, it has like rankings for towns, you know, how many listings are available at any given time, what's the average rate per night there. And it has some data over time. So you can see like, oh, 2 years ago, Park City was much more in demand, and now it's going down a little bit, and the price per night's going down, just as an example. So there's a lot of tools out there.
Very cool.
As someone who's got a couple of rental properties and as someone who follows the market closely, I wouldn't be comfortable buying right now. I know so many people are like, well, yeah, you buy now and then you can refinance down the road when, you know, the rates come down and get so much cheaper because the prices are only going to go up. Look right now, again, go to Zillow or whatever your preferred real estate app is and look at ski towns right now, because we're towards the end of the season. There is so much available. Looking at Alta and Snowbird, everywhere else, like you look at, I mean, just go to, again, choose a town, and there's so much for sale. I'm looking at Snowmass a lot lately because I find that area fascinating and bizarre. So I'm always looking there. There's tons of stuff available. Telluride, there's tons of stuff available. It's all crazy expensive. I don't know. Big Sky too. I don't know how much it will come down. It's not like it's going to collapse or drop like a significant amount. But
I'm hearing stories that the commercial market's going to just crumble.
Well, commercial's been a disaster since COVID hit. I mean, they're going to have to
start. People don't want to go back. They're going to have to start, you know, scaling down their footprint. But maybe they'll make some residential out of it, right?
That's most likely. But that's mostly like big cities too.
Yeah.
You know, where they have those big corporate parks or corporate buildings. But in terms of like, you know, a lot of these ski towns, a lot of them are just extremely limited where they can build. So they can't build anything new. And if they do, people are sopping them up and they're making, they're buying multiple units and renting them out. And again, 4 years ago, when prices were 20%, 30% lower, and you could get a 3% mortgage, it made way more sense than elevated prices and elevated interest rates.
Mm.
So I don't know how long this is going to last. I mean, if there's a serious recession, like that's where I feel like that's where the bubble's going to pop. But so far, these towns have not really been shaken too much. They haven't been shaken too much. So
yeah, like you said, they're limited. They're limited small towns.
Yeah, there's certain places they can build more, but most places they really can't build too much more. So yeah, I really have no idea how it's going to play out. I don't. But it's fascinating to kind of at least follow it and experiment. If it's something that you're into, you know, like there's ways to track it. And again, it's even just checking places out every month and kind of keep tabs on what's available, what's not is a good way to start. And again, I don't know if you can really start out as a rental real estate investor in these places. You need a nice chunk of change to get rolling. But again, you know, I'm not going to give up on my dream of owning ski town real estate and moving to a ski town. So, you know, you get your numbers, you know, what you're looking at, and then work towards it. It's all you can do. It's all you can do. So I'll post all this stuff. Even the link to the I'll post the link to this in the show notes, so if you guys want to check it out, get an idea, follow these links. If you have any suggestions, tips, ideas, methods of inspiration to get to those to get to some of these properties, hook us up.
Yeah, if you've ever been there, if you've been looking, let us know where you're looking.
Yeah, now like I said, this is only part one of this. I don't know how many parts are going to be, but over the summer we're going to use different criteria to have different main topics on this. So again, most of these were out west. Actually, all of them are out west. We're going to do one on top East Coast areas as another main topic. And then we could probably do one on some hidden gems, lower cost, better value spots. You know, maybe you're not getting your 2,000 feet of vertical. Maybe you're only getting 1,800 feet. But you know, if you can have a place in a ski town, that's still more than a lot of other people. So
why not do worldwide?
Yeah, we could do worldwide. There's more complexity when you're doing international, but you know, but it's something we could look into too. So again, suggestions, ideas, thoughts, hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. I think this is a fun topic. I like it. I know a decent amount about it. I would love to learn more, and we'll do a couple different episodes and let us know what you think about it. So thank you again for listening. We do appreciate it. Check us out, skibumpodcast.com. We're on the socials, X, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Untapped, @skibumpodcast. If you want to help us out, become a Patreon, patreon.com/skibumpodcast. We would love that. Need some swag, skibumpodcast.com/shop. Need some gear, need to work out, need to get in shape, 10,000.cc, use the code BSchneider15 for 15% off. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Stay high, stay fluid.
See ya.